I was born the third and final child of my parents. My oldest brother's favorite flashcard was a picture of a cast-iron appliance with the word stove. When Bill was two, my parents got a small Shetland pony they let him name. Stove was a strong-willed and determined animal, full of the passion you'd expect from a grand steed of acclaimed lineage. Like his namesake, he was solid and hot. His brownish-gray hair, trimmed with bold tufts of blonde on his mane, and his tail hung thick on a frame whose shape it masked. I remember him having hair like a woolly mammoth, and a temper like a wolverine, and a bite that struck as fast as a snake when he was angered. He was not a pony for a two-year-old, but by the time I was old enough to remember, Bill was six or seven and able to keep Stove under control. Our other pony, Mark's pony, when I was very young, and later mine, came named. He'd received his name from a kid who'd been less insightful than Bill. The name, Pride, would have served Stove well had Bill chosen it, but it didn't fit this animal. Pride was also a Shetland pony, and he looked Stove's twin. Yet his quiet temper and gentle disposition made him Stove's opposite. The ponies and the boys were mismatched. Mark was the unrestrained and curious of my brothers. Bill was the quiet and calm. We lacked a lawnmower in my younger years. I'm sure this will come as no surprise to you. We put the job of keeping the grass short to our gardeners, Pride and Stove. These ponies lacked the sense of animo revertendi, which draws domesticated animals back home. Thus, containing their reach to the yard and keeping them from running off down the road was an enterprise to which much thought and effort was devoted, perhaps as much effort as had we pushed a lawnmower back and forth instead. For Pride, the solution to wandering was simple, clear, and entirely too effective. In bygone years, when milkmen went door to door in horse-drawn milk wagons, they left their load in the street while they made their deliveries to the doorstep. The UPS driver carrying his order from Amazon.com doesn't have to worry about his truck driving off with the rest of his packages because it wants to go to a gas station. But a horse has its own volition. To make sure the cart remained parked, the milkman would lay down an iron weight connected to the horse's bridle by a length of chain. It was an anchor to make the chore of running away too laborious to merit its fleeting reward. We had acquired such a weight and used it to slow the pony's progress in the yard. For Pride, the weight was more than was required. He wouldn't struggle against its gravity at all. Instead, he would eat a circle of grass around it, the radius of the short chain, and then stand waiting for his milkman to return. Stove, by physical measurement, was no stouter than Pride, but the weight was little burden. It pulled his head down a bit and to one side as he ran. This required of him considerable energy, but he was most willing to invest it and set out down the road to explore what life had to offer. We tried using hobbles to keep the ponies contained. By a thick leather strap, we buckled Stove's front feet together so he couldn't move one independent from the other. This, too, was too little barrier for Stove. He quickly learned to leap about rather like a rabbit, hopping off to destinations of his choosing as fast as he had formerly been able to run. For Pride, the hobbles were as imprisoning as the milk weight. He stood in one place until someone released his bonds. We would eventually put up an electric fence, but my brothers and I learned something from Pride and Stove. We learned that though adversity, trials, and hardship are common, not everyone reacts to them the same way. For some, they are the end to freedom and a reason to cower, afraid to cross the boundaries they seem to place. To others, they are freedom's beginning, a reminder of its insuppressible value, pushing them to do what they would not have otherwise known was in their nature.